kind of a fisheye vision in order to speak to you all. The reason why I'm here, or at least back in the Bay Area, I live in Taiwan right now, is because we came back to bury my father. My dad passed away at the age of about 86 a month ago. And so this time I brought his remains back to California so we can bury him in the Bay Area. One of the sad things is that my father has gone to the Lord's presence. But one of the beautiful things about having memorial services, we had one in Taiwan, and then yesterday we had another one in Foster City, is that I get to really hear about many people's reflections of my dad's life. He started full-time ministry at the age of 20. So by the time he passed away, he spent 65 years serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, traveling all over the world. And it's such an honor, it's a joy for me as a son to listen to stories of many countless people talking about how my dad taught them, discipled them, helped them out in life, gave them spiritual perspectives. Even many of the pastors who are serving in many churches or seminary professors who are teaching in many places started their journey serving the Lord with the help of my dad. So it was for me a very thankful and honorable experience for me to see his life through many people's perspective. And being able to reflect those 65 years gave me another strong impression with regards to our lives as Christians. It confirmed once again that our lives in Jesus Christ actually goes way beyond just a confession of faith, just beyond just the idea of salvation, where we are saved from the consequences of our sins so that we have eternity with the Lord. It goes beyond that. It even goes beyond just a religion that we found that we want to walk in, or a set of doctrines that we stand and sometimes argue over. And it goes beyond just living a life of good morals. It goes way beyond that, because really what I see in my dad's life and what I testify in my own life is that in Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to actually enter into a profoundly real and deep relationship with this Creator God. We call it a religion, but yet really what it is this amazing opportunity for humanity, for you and I, for a simple human being to enter into what we call a relationship, a real relationship with the one who created everything around us, not only on earth, but in this universe. And that's what was confirming when I hear about his life, that in this relationship that he had with God, my dad, his life became profoundly and powerfully impactful for generations of people. And he lived a long life. He served the Lord for a long time. So many people were under the influence of his life. And one of the repeated highlights that I heard yesterday, the different people who came up and shared about my dad's life, was that they shared that my dad was a man of prayer. He was a pastor that loved to pray. They talked about how when they would meet, they would talk together, but usually my dad would bring them into a place of prayer and they would pray together. And many of them saw my dad praying a lot. And when I heard that, it was a blessing for me, because here I was, I know about my dad and I know about his life of prayer, but it was really refreshing and confirming to hear from other people that have known him over the years. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who had a vibrant prayer life. Or to simplify it, or to take away just the concept of prayer and describe it as a lifestyle, he was a man who spent a lot of time relating to God deeply in conversation. That's how I would define prayer, and that's what really prayer is. And in fact, prayer, this idea of what we call prayer, or this action that we call prayer, we prayed before the service, we prayed before I got up on stage right after worship. This action that we call prayer can be simply understood as a conversation. But yet, prayer can be deeply amazing and profound because it's actually deeply connecting at the heart level with this invisible being, which we call God. So have you ever thought about it that way? And I want you to invite you today to think about this thing that we're so familiar with, and yet something that carries depth. Simply put, prayer is a conversation. I'm sure we've had our daily experiences of prayer. We talk to Him. We usually bless the food before we eat. We usually pray before we start services, and we end services. Simply put, it's a conversation. We kind of close our eyes and we talk to this invisible God, but we have certain level of belief and faith that He's there. But prayer in a more deeply profound perspective, and this is what I want to really emphasize today in my message, is that prayer is an amazing connection that you and I can have with this limitless God, this creator of the universe, the origin of everything. This is what prayer is, and that's why sometimes and oftentimes when I think about prayer, I myself, in my own personal experience, I would call prayer or define prayer as something mysterious and yet very powerful. Mysterious because it's in the realm of the supernatural. I don't know if you've ever considered you praying to God as something deeply spiritual and mysterious because it's supernatural. Just think about it. I want us to all just take more time to think about the fact that you as a human being can relate to this God, to the author of the universe, to the one who made you. It's got a real mysterious dimension to it because, in a sense, we are in our spirit talking to God who is spirit. It's a supernatural phenomenon. It's not just a religious activity, and I want us as Christians to step away from the religiousness of prayer, but really to meditate and to understand the deeply spiritual and profoundly mysterious or supernatural dimension of prayer. It is a supernatural activity. That's why I often say we as Christians who are in Jesus Christ, we are daily living in the supernatural. Because the moment you begin talking with God, you are entering into a supernatural dimension of your life. Sometimes we call it spiritual dimension, but you can really call it supernatural dimension. And not only is prayer mysterious or supernatural, but prayer is powerful. It releases power in our lives and releases power around our lives. And that's why when you read the Bible, you begin to find out that in scriptures, God describes to us or God instructs us to pay attention to prayer because it's a critical part of our lives in Jesus Christ. I think it's in the PPT. I have one verse that we'll just want to look at, and this verse is so short, you can instantly memorize it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's 16 to 18, but I want to focus on the middle part, which is verse 17. Let's just read it together. 1, 2, 3. Okay, one more time. Once again, 1, 2, 3. Pray without ceasing. That's what the Lord has instructed to us. That's out of 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. A very simple prayer. A very simple phrase. I'm actually having a hard time preaching in English now because I have to preach in Chinese so much. Pray without ceasing. Or relate to the Lord in the place of your heart communication with Him. That's how I would define prayer in a simple way. Pray. Relate to God. Relate to Jesus, this God that we've come to believe in, this Savior that we've entrusted our lives in. It says, pray, relate to Him regularly from the heart. And it says, without ceasing, meaning constantly. So there's an invitation from the Word of God for us to live a life where we are constantly in that deep relationship, the mysterious, supernatural, and powerful connectedness with the Lord. This is an exciting life. We have to go through the regular mundane life routines, but don't forget, when you are in Jesus Christ, you're being invited into what scriptures call praying without ceasing lifestyle. You're being invited into this place. It's a place of honor. It's a place of just profoundness where you can actually be in a place where you are praying without ceasing. Or, let me define it in another way, where you are actually in a constant, deep connectedness with God. And this is what this verse is encouraging us, not only to remember, but to actually cultivate that lifestyle. I see prayer as a profound, a critical part of our daily walk as Christians. Let me just tell you some stories about my own life, why I would be so big on prayer. I see that in my dad's life, and it's true in my life, and even today it's already true in my four children's life. I remember when I was 8 years old, I grew up with parents who are people of prayer. My mom, if my dad had a prayer life, my mom had even more of a prayer life. So my mom, I've always known her to be a person of prayer, and she would always gather with my aunts and uncles, and when they meet after dinner, they would usually sit in the living room and they would enter into prayer. But when I was 8 years old, I would know that right after the tasty meal, when they start to sit down and start to talk, that's my time to slowly sneak away to the back room so I can watch TV while they pray. Because I thought that, well, this is for big people, this is for older people, and then when they get to praying, they usually don't end for hours. So it's really not my world, it's not my interest that I would sneak inside my room and watch cartoons until I fall asleep. But I remember one evening, around 8 years of age, I did the same thing. I snuck into the room and I'm turning on and I'm expecting that show that I always like to watch. And suddenly my mom walks into the room and she goes, Jess, can you come out and just pray with us tonight? The Lord must have given her a special conviction that day. So she walked into the room. And when I heard that, I said, Mom, no way. I don't want to be in prayer for 2 hours with you guys. You guys do your thing. I can't hang with you guys that way. But she kept insisting, said, please just come out, son, and pray with us tonight. So I wasn't that rebellious. I followed her and walking towards the living room, I'm asking her, Mom, what do I do? Because I can't pray that long. I don't know what to say. You guys are like hours and hours. What am I going to do? So as we're walking, I'm asking her this question. She goes, don't worry. It's not going to be a high-pressured situation. Just don't worry. Just kneel by my side. Say what you need to say. Ask God for toys, candy, extra vacation from school, whatever you need to say. But afterwards, if you run out of material, just quiet yourself down and just start talking to God, praising Him for who He is. Tell Him how great He is. Don't you think God is great? If you believe He's a creator, tell Him how awesome He is in creating the things that you're fascinated with, animals, whatnot. Just praise Him for simple things and just try that. And she said, Jess, if you really get bored after doing that, you're free to leave, but at least come and start prayer with us. So I said, okay, I can do that. I'm thinking maybe after 5 minutes, I can go back to the room. So I kneeled down. I remember I knelt down beside my mom and I went into prayer. And it wasn't long afterwards that I felt the tap of my shoulders. And I'm still kneeling there. My eyes are still closed. I didn't want to lift my head up because I thought it was just only a couple minutes. I haven't even gotten really started yet. So she taps my shoulders and she goes, Jess, you know, you can go back to the room now if you feel like you need to. And I remember without even lifting up my head, I said, Mom, it's okay. It's only been a little while. I can go longer. So I continued in that place kneeling next to my mom. And then a few moments later, I feel tapping again. This time, I hear my mom's voice saying, hey, Jess, we're done. Do you want to get up now? And I'm going, what? You guys are done? What happened today? Did you guys get into a fight? It's only been less than 10 minutes, I think. How come you're done? I'm expecting hours. And so I'm, no, I don't want to stop, Mom. I'm okay. But she goes, no, we're really done. Son, would you just get up and look at what time it is? Now, when I started praying with them, it was about 8:30, around 8 p.m. at night. And so when she finally tapped me and says, "We're done. Why don't you get up and look at the clock?" Out of curiosity, I got up, I stood up, and I saw the clock, and it was about 3 a.m. in the morning. And I promise you, I did not fall asleep. So when I saw the clock, it was shocking to me, and I said to myself, "What in the world is this? What just happened? I've entered into the twilight zone, it seems. I've entered into some profound, indescribable dimension of reality that I'm kneeling there next to my mom thinking I'm just giving praises to God for a few minutes, but yet it's 6 hours, 7 hours later." So that moment, in that day, as an eight-year-old, without much knowledge of the Bible, without having gone to seminary or have heard too many teachings on prayer, it registered in my heart that day as an eight-year-old that prayer is something so mysterious and supernatural. But prayer is so profound because prayer is powerful. It kept my attention for that long of a time. I was kneeling, by the way, not watching a TV series. So in some plan of God, He allowed me at a young age to experience something about prayer that I could stand before you guys today and tell you that as much as prayer is a simple act of communication, there is profound depth in prayer. It's such a describable and yet undescribable phenomenon that as an 8 years old, it left a strong impression in my heart. And that's why for me as a person, I look back over the years, I can see that prayer has been a significant part of my life. Not because the Christian religion tells me I have to pray, but because when the scriptures tell me, pray without ceasing, God, who is supernatural, brought me into that supernatural dimension of prayer. Let me experience the mystery of it. You know, when things are mysterious, it catches your attention, right? That's why we like to read mysteries. That's why we want to watch movies that are mysterious, because you want to find the answer, because it just makes you feel like there's something existing that's beyond your reason and logic, but yet you can experience. That's what prayer does. That's what the depth of prayer does in anybody's life, in the life of a Christian. But also powerful, because there was power present that day. The presence of God, his attractiveness that day, that caught my attention for all those times where my mom would tap my shoulders and says, "You can leave now." And I would say, "No, it's only been a few minutes. I'm not done yet." Until finally, I outlasted my mom and my aunts and uncles. Wow. As an eight-year-old. Something beautiful. Prayer is a human being able, having the opportunity or God-given capacity to connect with God at a deep level. Connect with God at a deep heart level. Or sometimes we would say connect with God with our spirit. So as much as it is a simple communication, this communication, there's depth in it. There's power in it. Prayer brings us to the place where we actually experience and see God's power in many ways. Let me share with you another one that's very interesting. This happened when I was pastoring at Third Home, before Fourth Home. I remember in the early days when I got out of seminary and I'm pastoring, and I love to preach, and I love to get up early in the morning to prepare myself to preach that day, usually 2-3 hours before service starts. I remember one day I got up early, and I'm living in Fremont, because that's where Third Home is. I drove to church when it's all empty, and I'm thinking about the message. I'm thinking about just talking with the Lord about the message. I got to the parking lot, parked my car, closed the door, and walked 3 steps away. And I'm in deep thought, but suddenly there's an awareness that says, "Oh, no. I think I left my keys in the ignition," and I just automatically pushed lock and slammed the door. And I walked back to the car and stuck my face at the window, and sure enough, I see my keys hanging inside the ignition keys. I mean, the ignition. And I'm going, oh, man. Now I'm at church early, nobody's here, and my keys are in my car, the door is locked. I can't get into the church. So I made a phone call, told Alice, my wife, said, hey, I need help. Can you send someone with the spare keys? And so I hung up, and I'm standing there. Now I'm going, oh, man, try to come to church early, but this is what's happening. But then I decided, you know what? This is a great opportunity not to just stand outside of church getting mad at yourself. Why not take this opportunity while you're waiting for the spare keys to be delivered and just hang out with God again? Pray without ceasing. Why not talk to Him in those circumstances instead of sit there frustrated, angry, and being impatient? It's a beautiful morning like today. Trees are outside. Fremont's beautiful. So I'm standing outside. I'm here listening to the birds, watching the sunlight. Not watching, feeling the sunlight, and then just a beautiful tree. So I'm standing out there saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I was on my way to get in there and to go into work mode, but you kind of, by your permission, you kind of stopped me dead in my tracks. I just want to worship you. Thank you for your creation. The trees are beautiful. The sound of birds, that's refreshing. So I'm just talking to the Lord. And it's during the wintertime, so I'm wearing this big trench coat, and I'm waiting for the keys to be delivered. I'm standing outside of the church, just talking to the Lord, connecting with Him at the heart level, just appreciating the 10, 15 minutes I have. In the middle of talking to Him, I don't know why, I think my hands were cold, so I decided I would stick it back into my trench coat pocket. And I'm talking to Him, I'm sticking my hands back to my trench coat pocket. And when I did that, I suddenly feel a bunch of keys in my pocket. Now, this is the moment where you decide Pastor Jess was crazy that day, or something supernatural took place. I know where I stand, but I'm sharing this with you to kind of rattle your brains a little bit to see where you might decide. And sure enough, when I pull it out, it was my car keys with my church keys. The very set of keys that I just saw 10 minutes ago that was stuck in the ignition of my car. This is why I say prayer is mysterious and powerful, because when we begin to relate to God, we enter into a life where what we would normally call impossible or strange become something that we experience. That must be what prayer is about. Otherwise, prayer is just religious talk. The people in the Bible prayed, powerful things happened. And in this case, it wasn't even that I really needed my keys. To me that day, God was just showing me, hey, keep connecting with me. I love it, and I will give you some profound experiences just to continue marking your heart that prayer is something powerful. Prayer is something that you don't want to forget. Just like when I was 8 years old, that encounter marked my heart. It put something beyond my rational and logic in my mind that becomes a marker for the importance of prayer. And as an adult preacher, the Lord did it again. Because the keys were coming. It didn't take a few more minutes. But yet the Lord chose that day that in the place of prayer, the moment I put my hands in my pocket, there was a key. How did it get from my locked car to my pocket? I don't know, because I'm not God. How did He create us? It's supernatural. How does He make keys move from my car to my pocket? It's just as supernatural. Because that's what prayer does. It brings our lives into a place where we would encounter the profound things and the powerful things. Prayer in my life also empowers me, not only for personal life, but for ministry life. I remember just not a few months ago, I was in Taiwan, and we would, there's a house of prayer. There's people who gather to pray a lot. So would get up early in the morning, 7 a.m. I'm in the place of prayer with many people. And I remember that one morning I was there, there's worship going on, and I'm just connecting with God again. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't have to be officially going to someplace. It could be just your regular lifestyle, where your thoughts tend to flow, how you tend to interact with circumstances around you. Pray without ceasing. Connect with Him. Relate to Him at all times. From your heart, talk to Him. Don't make it religious. Make it natural. We can have that choice. And so I'm in the prayer room, and I'm just praying, and suddenly I'm in the place of worship. I'm just enjoying worship and the Lord's presence. My heart is flowing. And suddenly there was a thought that came into me and said, hey, why don't you text this so-and-so pastor that lives in my city and just ask him how he's doing. And I'm going, I don't want to do that. I'm really enjoying worship. But that sense, that conviction was really strong. So I said, okay, fine. I believe it's God, because it's not the first time I've encountered that. There's familiarity when you talk to God a lot and you begin to sense that this is His heart talking back to you. This is His heart moving on your heart to think about certain things or to do certain things. See, when you talk to a person, when you relate to a person at the heart level over time, you become familiar with that person, right? Sometimes you're so familiar with people, like your family members, they just have to look at you. When I look at Eli like that, he's probably thinking, he knows what Pastor Jess is thinking, if we're relating a lot. So in that same way, in that prayer room, I was in a place of prayer and worship, and I sensed something. And even though I don't want to stop worship, I knew, I was familiar with that sense of conviction in my heart that this is from the Lord. So I texted this pastor, just asked him, hey, Pastor so-and-so, how are you? Within a minute, he texts back. He goes, Jess, you have no idea how timely this text is, because I'm going through a hard, hard time. I'm feeling so discouraged. I'm thinking I want to quit ministry. And your text came in. And I go, oh my, thank you, Lord. This comes from communicating with you, connecting with you, because I don't know all things, but He knows all things. But what I can do is relate to Him, pray without ceasing. Because when I relate to Him that way, then God has a friend on earth where He could share what He knows, and I could represent God to do something about it. That's where the mysterious and the power of it come together, and prayer becomes a life of impact, even in the place of ministry, just the ministry of caring for someone. So he writes back, and I read it, and I'm going, wow, thank you. So I immediately text back, and I says, well, I'm free today. Do you want to meet? And he says, sure, please come over. I really need a friend right now. So I walk, I right after the prayer meeting, I went to see him. We had a great time of fellowship. And he says, Jess, can you pray for me? Because I'm really struggling. I said, fine. So I walked over, put my hands around his shoulder, and I began to pray. And the presence of God, encouragement of God, the love of God so filled this man that he really began to weep, and he just began to process this difficulty. He's a pastor. Pastors hurt too. Pastors get discouraged. And so after the prayer time, he looked up at me and goes, Jess, in my whole life, he's in his 40s, I've never wept when someone prayed for me. But the moment you put your arms around my shoulder today, I just felt something so deep, a touch of God's love. I'm not promoting myself. I'm not promoting Pastor Jess's ministry. I'm promoting the fruit of a lifestyle of prayer. And that's available to everyone who is in Jesus Christ. Because the simplicity of it is a regular, ongoing conversation with the Lord. But the depth of it is beyond what we could even imagine. Prayer is also wisdom for life, wisdom for many things as we connect with the Lord. I remember before I was a pastor, I was an engineer, I was a research scientist. After I graduated with a degree in physics, I love science. I love to explore things. I love to do research. Remember, I was working in a place as an engineer, as a research and development engineer. And we had this big project, and it was going to make us money. It was going to make this company pretty successful. And we had big companies who wanted this particular product just waiting anxiously. So I'm there doing the experiment, and I spent 1 year, 2 years doing this. You got to imagine, every single day, 8 to 10 hours a day in the lab, trying to figure out the solution. It gets tiring after a while, especially if you're not hitting any profound answers. And I remember towards the end of it, I was getting so frustrated. One day, I was in the lab, it was in the afternoon, I did another set of experiments, and I wasn't getting the results that I'd hoped for. I sat down and I was kind of in despair. And suddenly in my heart I said, Jess, how come you don't really talk to God seriously about this issue? I said, and I thought to myself, yeah, why not? I felt it was probably the Lord talking to my heart. I was thinking, I'm thinking to myself. So I said, you know what? That's true. So I said, you know, you created everything. If there was anything discoverable by science, it all exists because you spoke it into being. And if there's an answer to this solution, you have it. And you mind sharing it with me? Because I've been trying very hard. I've used all the textbook answers that I have. So I'm sitting there. I'm not expecting he has to give me an answer. I believe he has the answer. If there was an answer, he knew it. And so I'm praying without ceasing. I'm talking to him. I said, Lord, you mind sharing it with me? Help me out a bit. And suddenly, within seconds, an idea dropped into my mind. But that idea is counterintuitive. It goes against what I've learned. It goes against most of the research I've done. But it was so clear. And that goes back to the familiarity with God, because you're talking to him all the time. That familiarity comes. So I have this idea, and I said, doesn't make sense, but then I've tried everything already. So I run to my boss's office. I sit down. I said, look, he's a Christian. I said, look, this is not out of my wisdom. This is really from prayer. And I explained to him the idea. And he goes, that goes against our research science. I said, yeah. And then he looked at me. He goes, well, if you feel it's the Lord, go try it. So I ran back to the lab. Half an hour later, I have the results. I have the answer. And that became a product line that these major companies all bought. Last year on Facebook, I'm living in Taiwan, I find my old boss. This is from 20 years ago. This is 1996. And I connected with him and I said, hey, do you remember that thing? He says, yeah, do you remember that it was out of prayer and not really out of strict science? He goes, oh, I don't even remember that anymore. Thank you for reminding me, because I'm going to tell the person who's responsible over this product that this came supernaturally. So I said, what do you mean the person responsible over this product? He says, Jess, 20 years later, no other companies has topped this formula. And I'm going, this confirms that even more, that it's not just his wisdom, it's God's wisdom. Because after 20 years, this product is still being sold, and our competitors have not come up with anything better. Pray without ceasing. The wisdom of the Lord. But he could choose not to give it to me that day, which is fine. But my point is, this is what I've entered into as I walked in the life of prayer. Of course, one more important thing, and I'm just going to be really brief, is that the mysteriousness or the supernatural dimension in the power of prayer is also power that changes your life. Human beings, we are in bondage to self-centeredness. We're in bondage to pride. We want to do our own things. We think we're smarter than everyone else. And often than not, we actually act like we're smarter than God. We can come to church, we can act very spiritual and religious, but at the core of what's in our heart, we know that if we carefully and we're vulnerable to examine it, we walk daily in the bondage of self-centeredness and pride. And I have come to know personally that the life of prayer, my constant praying and ceasing, without ceasing, pray without ceasing, that lifestyle of prayer has radically saved me from the influence of self-centeredness and pride. When I talk to God a lot, when I relate to Him, when I connect with Him genuinely at the heart level, He saves me from so much prideful thoughts. I could spend two sermons talking about those things, and I don't mind. It causes me to see where I'm wrong and gives me the humility to walk up to someone, including my children, and say, you know, Dad was wrong. That was very, very wrong. It helps me as a pastor, as a leader in the church, to admit that I'm flawed and not pretend that I'm the perfect leader. There's so many more things. It aligns my heart with God's ways and God's will for my life. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17, simple phrase, yet profound truth. Pray without ceasing. Relate to God. Connect with Him unceasingly. And I want to challenge and inspire you to set it as a passion in your life, to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer. To simply enter into the place where you're connecting with God relationally. You communicate with Him from your heart. Not because you were told to do so as a religious activity. Connect with Him from your heart. And walk that path. Walk, set that direction. And explore the depths of what prayer can offer to you. Explore the depths of prayer. Don't just do it as an activity. If you believe what I've testified of today, say, Lord, if that's what prayer is, I want to be in that adventure. I want to understand. I want to have personal experience of the mysteries and the power of prayer. I want to, in that way, live daily in a supernatural dimension of life. So let's take some moment just to pray right now. Okay? I will pray for you, but I'm inviting you as Christians to connect with God on your own, even right now, from your heart. I know that you've all done a measure of prayer, but perhaps today, from this sharing, that you could, in a place of prayer, really engage with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to upgrade my prayer life. Mm-hmm. Is that your desire? I hope it is. Because it is always God's desire to upgrade His relationship with you. It's always in the Lord's heart. I've come to know that. Scripturally and personally. It's always in the Lord's heart that your communication, your connection, your connecting with Him can undergo another upgrade. So I'm going to invite you right now. I'm going to stop talking very soon. Talk to Him. Tell Him you want that upgrade. Ask Him to help you upgrade. Bring your life deeper into the mysterious, supernatural, and powerful dimension of prayer. Go ahead. Father, I ask that you would, by your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, Spirit that gives us life, confirm your word today. Bring life to that simple phrase, pray without ceasing. I ask this on behalf of this church here. As they have talked to you, I stand with them and I ask, Lord, I'm asking for the grace this very year 2017, that the believers at Fourth Home of Christ English Ministry, that they will experience an upgrade in their prayer life. That they will undergo, by your grace, an upgrade in the way they connect with you. The way they relate to you, the way they communicate you from their heart, with you from their heart. I ask that this would be a praying body. I ask that you would take them into the depths, the supernatural dimension, the power that is experienced in prayer. Thank you, Lord. I feel your passion over them. And I say, Lord, by your passion, by your love for your church, help your church. Help the body of Jesus Christ here to pray without ceasing, to connect with you at all times. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.